see your scars, you're open up. Beauty of your face. And through tears of joy, I lift my voice in everlasting praise. Hallelujah.
Well, good morning, guys. Quite a few folk on already. Welcome to MGF, what are we going to call it? MGF Live?
Yeah.
So we've been streaming our messages for about a year now, but this is going to be quite different. We're going to try and have our whole service here. It's going to be really strange. I am looking at my congregation this morning.
Hello!
What's up, dudes?
So we've got Val, Lise and Nuns as the congregation over there, and all you guys, we've got about 11 people on already, so bless you if you've joined. Really good to see you. I think we need to keep meeting as a community and keep meeting as a church, so bless you for joining, and it is really good to have you on board. I'm not going to mention names, but I can see, yeah, I can see a few of your regulars. It's good to see you. And some new friends. It's great to see you as well. I will say one hello. Hi, Naveen. It's great to see you from India. It was wonderful speaking to you last night, even though you were on your motorbike. I don't think that was very safe. But that's okay. It's great to see you, my friends. So, we are going to have a message this morning. We're going to talk about an offering. We're going to have communion. Morning, Marilyn. And we'll just see how it goes. So is everybody ready? Mm-hmm. They're all sitting on their reclined chairs. They're lounging around. They've got their blankies on. I'm getting a bit warm, actually, but I might have to take my jumper off. So we're going to start. I'm going to start with a message. Hi, Ali, how are you doing? I'm going to start with a message and we'll see how that goes, and then talk a little bit about offering, as I said, and then have communion and have a prayer. So write comments. I can see them coming up on the screen. I mightn't comment on them all, but Nunzi might look out for comments and see what people are saying as well. So hi, Michael, good to see you from Ireland. So we'll start. Everybody okay with that? I've got thumbs up from three of my congregation, so that'll be great. So, let's look at the Word. Have you all got your words? Have you all got your Bibles? You're in church now, guys. Might not be in a building, But we're still church. We're meeting as church. Church is the body of people. Church is not the building. So we need to take our word to our church. So that's what we're going to do this morning. I'm going to get rid of my glasses. And I'll be able to read better. So I'm just going to carry on with the messages that I've been doing at MGF for the last... Oh, how many have I done now, Naz? Is this my fourth one on the atonement? Third or fourth? So I'm doing a little mini-series on the atonement. I was going to do a little mini-series because I was due to start travelling next week. But I'm not now. So this mini-series may develop into one of my longer series. It probably won't be an Ephesians or a Galatians. That was into the 20s. But we'll see how it goes. An important subject. So I wanted to continue this teaching series. I had a couple of people ask me, please don't stop teaching about the atonement, keep preaching on it, because it's such an important subject at the moment. So I'm going to keep looking at the atonement, looking at the finished work of Jesus Christ, what he has done for us. And hi Sam, how you doing? And I think that's essential in times like this, because there's a lot of doubt going about, there's a lot of fear being... Well, just if you watch the telly, perpetrated with fear, penetrated with fear. There's just a lot of fear going about, but I think we can dispel a lot of that fear by looking at the finished work of Jesus Christ. Amen. Mm-hmm. Perfect love casts out all fear, and Jesus' finished work is all about love. Hi, Lyra. Hi, Stuart. Great to have you online. So at times like this, when there's so much change, there's so much doubt, there's so much uncertainty, we need to be looking at the consistency that is Jesus Christ. There's one thing that will never change, and that is Jesus Christ. What does the word say? Same yesterday, today, and forever. So we'll do that. Hebrews 8:13. Thank you. I have my theological advisor with me. If someone would like to check that, that'll be okay. So what we're going to look at, we're going to start by doing a little bit of a summary, which I do every week. So what is the atonement? What's the definition? Can anyone remember the definition of atonement? I've said it 3 weeks now. And, oh, Lisa's got her excuses in. Lisa's already said she's not been present. Val is now covering her face with her blanket. So I'm looking at my beloved. That's okay.
It's he takes all our bad stuff and gives us all his good stuff.
Amen, but it's a little bit first, remember? My definition of atonement is it's the reconciliation of God and mankind through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And then we have the Ladybird Book of Theology bit, when he took all our bad stuff and we get all his good stuff. And we've been looking at what I call the great exchanges that took place on the cross, punishment for forgiveness, sin for righteousness, sickness and disease for health. Remember all those things? Well done, Michelle. Good stuff. Bad stuff for good stuff. That's right. Took sickness and disease for health. And last week, we looked at a slightly controversial one, when he took our poverty and we got his prosperity. The P word, remember? Talking about prosperity. And the verse that sums it up for me is John 10:10. So let's have a quick look at John 10:10. We should all know it, but let's just read the word anyway. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come, this is Jesus speaking, remember. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Yes, good question, Stuart. Where's my box of gifts? My box of gifts is in the Langbride Hall, which we're not allowed in now. So you're just going to have to imagine that, Stuart. My box of gifts. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Amen. He came to bring us life, came to bring us life in abundance, and that includes health, joy, peace, prosperity, acceptance, adoption, all those things. So we've looked at quite a few exchanges already, but I want to look at another one. I wanted to look at another exchange today that took place on the cross. One that I think many people don't believe or don't understand. And I think many people suffer in this area when they don't need to. So what I'm going to talk about this morning is rejection and acceptance. So rejection is still an issue for some in the church. But I want to show you that Jesus took our rejection and gave us his acceptance, or rather acceptance from the Father. So I want to show you that in scripture this morning. Rejection, I think, is about feeling unloved, unwanted, and being of no worth. I'm not certain about that, because, you know, I have issues with health, I have issues with prosperity, but I don't have issues with rejection. So I'm trying to kind of teach this. What are you laughing at?
She said same.
Same. So Val is saying, yeah, same. Val has other issues, but rejection's not one of them. Maybe some of the other people in the congregation may have issues with rejection. About feeling unloved, feeling unwanted, and feeling of no worth. And that's worse when that is in the context of your relationship with God the Father. So if people are feeling they're unloved, if people are feeling they're unwanted, if people are feeling they are of no worth, if that's in relationship, if that's in context of the relationship with the Father, that's really bad news for people. But I'm going to show you, we no longer have rejection from the Father. We can't, or we should not have. See, at the cross, Jesus took our rejection, and we gained his acceptance. Remember, this is all about what he took and what we get in return. And we see lots of examples of that in the Word. So let's see what the Word says about rejection and acceptance. And I'm sorry, I'm going to have to stop a minute. Yeah, that's better. So turn with me to Isaiah 53. Passages that we've been using, I think, every message. Isaiah 53. And let's see. Verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid it as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. So this is kind of saying Jesus will be rejected by men. We see that here in Isaiah. We can see it in lots of places in the Gospels as well. I'm not going to go there. But lots of places in the Gospels we see Jesus being rejected, especially in his hometown. He was rejected there. And we see the religious people rejecting him as well. But that rejection of people is not the most important one. We see Jesus being rejected every day right now. That's not the most important rejection that Jesus went through. Look at Matthew 27 and verse 55. This is after the crucifixion. It says, and many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him. Kind of verse says to me there was a lot of people missing, if it's just talking about the women. Look at Mark 15, verse 40. Again, after the crucifixion. There was also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James, the less, and Joseph and Salome. Again, after the crucifixion or during the crucifixion, where were the disciples? They'd rejected Jesus. So there was a lot of rejection for Jesus on the cross. And look at John 19. John 19, verse 25. And there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by him, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith to his disciples, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her into his own home. So again at the cross, it's showing that the vast majority of the people who followed Jesus rejected him. Rejected him at the cross. There was mass rejection for Jesus at the cross. But that's still not the most important rejection that Jesus had. Go back to Matthew 27. And let's look from verse 45. So Matthew 27. So yeah, that's right. Matthew 27, verse 45. And now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Forsaken by God his Father. That must have been a terrible thing for Jesus. At the time of the greatest rejection by people, his disciples had just scattered. At a time of his worst pain, that must have been horrendous. Jesus was forsaken by his Father. That word means to leave behind in some place, to desert, to forsake, to leave. I think that means to reject. So as Jesus was on the cross, he was rejected by God the Father. That's the only way I can interpret this verse. I mean, God certainly didn't embrace him, did he? Didn't come down and say, there, there, and try to take him off the cross. He rejected Jesus as he was on the cross. Now, why did he do that to his son, his beloved? Well, turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5:21. Another one of the great exchanges that I've already spoken about, sin for righteousness. But this verse will tell you why Jesus was rejected by the Father on the cross. Why the Father, as Michelle says, why the Father turned away. It says, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. As I've said, one of the great verses about this great exchange that took place on the cross. Our sin for his righteousness. But this verse tells us something really important. It tells us why the Father rejected Jesus. Because Jesus didn't just take our sin on the cross. Jesus was made sin. That's what that verse says. If you take out the words that's in italics to be, it says, for he hath made him sin for us. On the cross, Jesus didn't just take our sin. Jesus was made sin. And sin was dealt with on the cross. It wasn't Jesus who was dealt with on the cross. It was sin that was dealt with on the cross. Sin was crucified. And God cannot and will not, God could not and would not look on sin, let alone embrace sin. A holy God couldn't have anything to do with sin. So can you see that? The ultimate rejection for Jesus was on the cross to bring the ultimate acceptance for us. And yet I saw someone type, we are going to Ephesians. So go to Ephesians 1. We've looked at this rejection. We're now going to look at, that's the bad news. We're now going to look at the good news. We're going to look at what we get in return. If Jesus took our rejection on the cross, let's look and see what we get in return. So I'm going to read from verse 1. I want to read to verse 7. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Wonderful passage. I've preached on that many times. If you want to look at Ephesians, I've got a whole teaching on that book. But I love this passage. One of the greatest passages in the Holy Scripture telling us what we have in Christ, what we have through Christ, what we have because of Christ. And wonderful, it's all in the past tense. It's all, he has given us, we have been blessed. And it's all inclusive, it uses the word all. So we have all his spiritual blessings already. Many wonderful truths in there. But I want to particularly look at verse 6. Let's read verse 6 again. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. here's part of that great exchange. We have been accepted in the Beloved. Now again, folks, English doesn't really do justice here. You need to look at the Greek. What does that word accepted mean? It's a Greek word, charito, and it means to be highly favoured. Highly favoured. Anyone know the only other time that word was used in the New Covenant?
Yes.
When?
Yeah,
when the angel spoke to Mary and said she was highly favoured and she was going to be the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are highly favoured by God the Father. Just take that in. You, if you're born again, you are highly favoured. Not just accepted, but highly favoured by God the Father. Not because of what you've done, but because of what he's done. Absolutely. We cannot work to get his favour. We cannot work to be more in favour. We cannot sin to be less in favour. We are favoured highly. We have full acceptance from God the Father right now because of what Jesus Christ has done. And we get that as a gift of grace through faith. And that's one of the exchanges on the cross. And it doesn't matter what you think about it, it's what you feel. That this is a fact. Folks, people will reject you. Your family will reject you. Not in this room, obviously. But people may reject you. Your family may reject you. Your friends may reject you. But there is one person who will never reject you. And that is God the Father. And he can't reject you because he's accepted you because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. So it's all about what Jesus has done, not what we're doing. Here is this word, says, he says he made you accepted. He made you highly favoured. It's nothing about what you can do. He can't come against you. He cannot reject you. No matter what you do now, you cannot diminish the finished work of Jesus Christ. No matter what sin you indulge in, and I'm not recommending that you do it, but no matter what sin you indulge in, that does not diminish the finished work of Jesus Christ. Does not take away your faith. So the gift cannot be taken away. You are now accepted. He will never leave us or forsake us. Amen. We are accepted, fully accepted, highly favoured by God, and that cannot and will not change. You can never be rejected by God. But I feel rejected, Vic. I feel rejection. I've heard people pray, why have you turned your face away from me? That's not a good prayer. I'm going to be quite harsh and say, yeah, you might feel rejected. But what have your feelings got to do with things? If it comes in line, if it comes against the word of God. We may have feelings that we're being rejected, but that doesn't change the fact that we're accepted. The word says so. And the word doesn't lie. The word doesn't say God will sometimes. Yes, Nancy, that's an old covenant prayer that I just prayed there. Yeah, prayed. A new covenant prayer should not be, Lord, why have you rejected me? A new covenant prayer is, Father, help me get into the word to find the truths about your acceptance. Help me get into the word to renew my mind, to change my thoughts about you, So then that will change my feelings. That's a good one. A brain detox program would be useful. Or renewing your mind would be useful. I would suggest you get into the word, get into a time of prayer if you're feeling rejection. Because feelings are not the truth. The truth is in the word of God. The truth is that we have been accepted. The truth is that we have been highly favoured. Every single one of us. I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up, but Michelle will probably know a way how to put hands up on Facebook Live. If you can put your hand up, if you've been saved, you're accepted. If you're saved, you've been favoured highly. If you're saved, you get all those things that it says at the start of Ephesians 1. You already have them. You have acceptance. And not only are you accepted, but you've been adopted into his family. I don't know if there's a an exchange, a different exchange there. Nancy's just put her hand up. Hallelujah. That's good. Amen. Sorry, that's kind of throwing me off a little bit. That's okay. No, that's okay. Yes, we have been accepted. That's what the word says. Now, guys, I'm not unfeeling. I'm trying not to be unfeeling. But if you think, if you feel you're being rejected by God, that's just nonsense. It's not true. It goes contrary to the word. Now, we're told we can take all our thoughts captives. We control our thoughts. We control our emotions. They shouldn't be controlling us. So if you have feelings of rejections, that's just feelings. You haven't been rejected by God. He loves you. He accepts you. Hallelujah. Feelings can lead us down the wrong path. We need to be on the path of the word and looking at our truth. What's the truth that the word tells us? I have been accepted by God. I have been highly favoured. That's true for me, and it's true for you as well. That is your truth also. Amen. Jesus was rejected so that we would be accepted. We would be highly favoured. And if you're saved, you are. You are highly favoured. You have been accepted. You have been adopted into his family. That is a fact. It's part of this great exchange. He's taken your sickness and pain and you are healed. He's taken your poverty and you are prosperous. He's taken your sin and you are righteousness. He's taken your punishment and you are forgiven.
Amen.
And today, a quicker message than normal, because I haven't had as much interruption and participation and comments. But it's not been the same, but it's still been a message, guys. Today, you have seen that he has taken your rejection and you have his acceptance. So, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good to see so many people joining us. We're not finished yet, so don't rush away. We've got a few more things to do. I'm going to be doing communion in a few minutes. So if you haven't got your communion elements, I was going to say stuff. Thank you, Lise. If you don't have your elements ready, please get your elements and we will have our communion. I'll just tell you a little bit about what we've got planned going forward. We're going to keep meeting as a fellowship. We're going to keep staying in community. We've already had a few trials on Zoom, having get-togethers and communion. We've had three now, I think. We're going to probably have another one this evening. But we are going to go live tomorrow with a daily communion schedule. I'm going to put out a timetable and we're going to meet once every day, but we're going to do it at different times during the week. So hopefully lots of different people can join. I know everybody's not available at 7:30 at night, for example. So we'll have some in the morning. And oh, Paul's in from Singapore. Hallelujah. Good to see you, Paul. So we're going to have communion. We'll have it in the morning. We'll have it in the afternoon. We'll have it in the evening. We'll have it later on at night. But we're going to have one a day. We're using Zoom Pro so we can go in, we can see each other, we can talk to each other. I have the ultimate control so I can mute you as and when we're going to be communion. But it's great for everybody to share. So if you want to be part of that, we've already got quite a big mailing list. If you want to be invited on a daily basis to our communion, private message me your email address and I'll add you onto our mailing list. You will get an email every day about when it's going to start. If you can get into the communion, that's great. If you can't, just ignore the email and wait for the next one coming tomorrow. So that's been fun. That's been a blessing. I've really enjoyed that. We're going to have a Zoom meeting tonight at 7:00. It's going to be slightly different. Some people, I'm not sure the organisation has called a national time of prayer at 7:00 tonight. So we'll open up our Zoom room at 7:00 and we can just all get together and just have a time of prayer, and then afterwards we will have some communion. So those of you on the mailing list will get that invite. If you want to be part of it, send me a private message with your email address and I will put you on the email list. I am going to receive an offering. It's going to be difficult, but I'm going to talk about it and tell you what my plans are. As a church, because we are the church, just because we're not in our building this morning doesn't mean we're church. As a church, I want to keep up our commitments to the people that we support. So we have regular commitments, not just at our feeding station in India. We really need to keep that going, guys. But we have regular commitments to other ministries, regular commitments to local charities that I want us to keep up with. Yes, we'll be saving a little bit of money because we don't have hall fees, but you already know that's not a lot. If you're a regular, if you come along regularly at the MGF, you'll have heard my financial summaries. So you know we have a lot of regular commitments to put out. You know we don't have commitments because we have our own building. So most of the money that we take in as offerings, we give out to other ministries as offerings and we give out to local charities. So I want to keep that commitment going. Thank you and bless you for all the people that are already giving us regularly through the bank. You can easily do that. You can go on to a direct debit, standing order, or you can send us a Bax transfer. If you want to do that, private message me again and I will send you the details, or you can go on our website at the murraygrace.org.uk, and I've just updated the page there with our bank details so you can send us that. We had one suggestion on our communion two nights ago. Stuart suggested probably what he's going to do, or what he suggested was that people just have an envelope at home, and when we have this part of the service, put your offering into your envelope and just put it aside. It's not a toilet roll fund. It's not a fund to go and buy other stuff, dip into. But Stuart, bless him, said, just put it in an envelope and just lay it aside and keep it for when we start meeting again. Or we can meet, and I'm sure we can keep a 2 meter distance if you pass over your envelope. I will do that. I'm still available for walk and talk, remember, during the week. We can meet and do that. Or keep your cash, keep your offerings until we meet again. But we have regular commitments, guys, and I really don't want to stop our regular commitments, especially our feeding station over in India. So I'm just going to pray that people are putting offerings into envelopes, people are thinking about setting up Bax transfers, setting up direct debits. Thank you to those that have done it in the last couple of weeks even. Bless you, that's great. So I'm just going to pray over this offering that I'm going to receive right now in faith in the name of Jesus. So Father, I thank you for these offerings that we are receiving this morning. I thank you that they are coming through Bax transfers, through direct debits, through standing orders. Thank you that there's cash right now being put inside envelopes and set aside for your work, Father. I thank you for the ministries that we support. I thank you for the local charities that we support, Father. I thank you that the hall will need money once we get up and running as well. Thank you for our venue where we normally hold church. I speak a blessing out over that place. So thank you for these offerings, Father. Thank you that they have been given freely. And thank you that they'll be used wisely for the support of these ministries and for the furtherance of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Awesome. So let's take communion now. So, Nunzi, have you got... Can you kind of do this without... I don't want to do it because I'll spill.
Yeah.
So, so let's take communion. For those of us that have been joining us for communion the last 3 days, that's great. We'll keep doing that every day. But let's take communion together just now. Amen. Hallelujah. So, get your pieces ready.
For the rest of our lives.
Hallelujah. Very important that we keep taking communion together. Now, if you can't get onto our communion services, take communion yourself. I know there's quite a few people, Carl and Sean, Stu and Ellie and Annie, all take communion themselves. So and if you're on your own, just do communion yourself. Yeah, Lisa's got the biggest bit of the biscuit. So they're having a little bit of a laugh here about the size of the biscuit. Do communion with whatever you want. It doesn't have to be bread and wine. We've got tuck biscuits and port So, but just use whatever you want. So it's very important that we keep taking communion together, or take communion yourself. Communion, remember, is a celebration. It's a celebration of what Jesus Christ has done for us. It's nothing to do with our sin. It's all about Him. What does it say? 1 Corinthians 11, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 11. See if this is about sin or if it's about Jesus. See if it's about us or if it's about Jesus. 1 Corinthians 11, 24 says, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me.'" Is that in remembrance of sin? No. Morning, Amy. Good to see you from the States. Is this about sin or is it about the Son? It's about the Son. Is this saying, remember what you've done? No, it's saying it's in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. So we're going to take communion. We are going to remember the finished work of Jesus Christ. We're going to focus on Him. This is really important during this time, folks. I was getting myself into a little bit of a tiz last week about a few things, and Nunzi sorted me out properly. She said, keep looking to Him. Look to Him. Look to Him. So we have to do that. So if you've got your body, if you've got your blood, join in with us. Father, I thank you for this symbol of your Son's body. This body that was broken for every single one of us. Broken for our healing and our wholeness. Broken for our joy and our peace. Thank you that by his stripes we are healed. We thank you for the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. And Father, we thank you for this symbol of the blood of our Saviour. Blood shed for the forgiveness of all sin, for all men, for all time. That once ever sacrifice, that perfect sacrifice. Father, thank you for that amazing truth that at the same time as being our perfect sacrifice, he was our perfect high priest. Hallelujah. Thank you for his sacrifice, that spotless lamb. Thank you for the blood that was shed, the blood that was perfect, the blood that one drop was worthy of dealing with all the sin of the whole world. Thank you that his blood was shed in abundance to bring us abundant life. So Father, we thank you for the blood of the Lord. We thank you that we've been forgiven, and thank you that through that forgiveness and reconciliation, we have the power, we have the opportunity to be saved and made righteous. And thank you for those of us that, as a gift of grace through faith, have been saved, have been made righteous, all made possible because of the blood of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you for his amazing finished work. Thank you for that wonderful exchange that took place on the cross. Thank you for all that bad stuff that he took and all that good stuff that he gave in return. Thank you that he took our sickness and gave us healing. Thank you that he took our punishment and gave us forgiveness. Thank you that he took our sin and gave us righteousness. Thank you that he took our poverty and gave us prosperity. And thank you for the message this morning where we saw he took the rejection to give us acceptance, to make us highly favoured. So we thank you for the wonderful, amazing, perfect finished work of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So hope you enjoyed communion with us. Hope you were blessed by that message. Remember, we're meeting again on Zoom at 7 o'clock this evening, UK time, to join in with the National Day of Prayer. If you want to be on that, if you're on the mailing list, you'll get it. If you want to be on it, private message me your email address and I will send that to you. Also, if you want to be on our daily communion going through the week and you want the timetable of when you can join us, email me or private message me your email address. We also have plans to have Bible studies, also plans to put up teaching that we can watch together, and have rooms where we can just get together as a family and chat and let the kids run around and shout and things like that. So if you want to be involved in any of that, just private message me your email address. It will all be under GDPR regs. I'll keep it nice and safe.
What's your email address?
No, just private message me on Facebook. So private message me on Facebook, your email address. And yes, port is the way to go, Chris, if we're talking about communion. Port is the way to go. So thanks for joining us. Love and blessings to everyone from all of us here in sunny Avis, broadcasting from my living room. I'm sure this thing is going to pass.
Amen.
And when it passes, we'll be back in face-to-face fellowship in church. And when it passes, we are going to have one out-of-this-world party. So we'll see you there. But until then, let's keep community together using Facebook on Zoom. I am available. If you're local, I'm at home now. I'm available for walk and talk. Let's get out and meet and greet each other. We'll stay 2 metres apart. We did one yesterday. It was an absolute disaster because we couldn't get a bacon roll at the end of it. But I had a great time with the guys. So we will meet again. Don't know where, don't know when.
But I know
we'll meet again some sunny day. So we will keep having church, folks. Stay in community. Keep standing on the word. We are not in fear. You may be thinking, well, why are you not having a meeting, Vic? Well, I'm not in fear, but I'm also under the authority of the government, and I feel that the government is not persecuting the church at the moment, so what the government says, I'm going to abide by. But we're going to stand on the word, no fear, no anxiety, and we're going to all be blessed. So love and blessings from Pastor Vic and from Nancy and Lise and Val. We'll see you all again soon. Thanks for joining from the States, from India, and from all across the UK. So love you. Bless you guys. See you all soon. Bye.